This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, make sure you tune in to my Instagram Live every Thursday at 2 p.m. I just jump on there for about 15 minutes. You know, it's me teaching myself a new skill. So I jump on every Thursday, 2 o'clock, for about 15 minutes. We talk about public relations. I do a little feature called Why Is This News, where I pull a story out of the newspaper or maybe something I've seen on TV, and I try to dissect it and give you my impression of why it's news and what went into the thinking behind actually covering that story. So then maybe you can take that information and craft your stories just a little bit better. Because remember, that's what our show is all about. It's about how news gets made and about how we can do the job that we do just a little bit better. So make sure you check that out. That's on my Instagram channel, at Jody Fisher. And I got a little underscore after the name because I couldn't get Jody Fisher on Instagram. I'm going to find that person and I'm going to ask them if I could just take the handle. But in any case, Thursdays, 2 o'clock, check that out. Love to hear from you and love to hear you participate too, because I love the participation and the input. Want to hear from you guys. So please do check that out. Now, enough with me. Let's get on with our show for today. Jamie Stewart is a 7-time Emmy-winning reporter, currently working for Newsday Sports and just off a more than 20-year run at News 12 Long Island. He is a Syracuse grad who enjoys quiet things like Kiss and WWE and Godzilla movies. I love Godzilla movies too. I love the old ones, but I love the new ones. And 70,000 screaming Jets fans. We will play the little violin for our Jets fans. But you know, the Giants didn't do much better this year, so who's complaining? Jamie has also recently dipped his toe into the public relations world. He's helping pitch stories to local media and then covering them himself as well. Jamie, welcome to the PR Podcast.
Thank you, Jody, very much. Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you being on here. And this, to my recollection, in 160-ish shows, the first time I think we've talked with someone who covers sports. So really excited to cover the topic of sports and sports journalism here. Tell us just a little bit about you, your background, how you got into sports reporting.
Well, I mean, I've loved sports ever since I was probably like 7 or 8 years old. Unfortunately, my father was a Jets fan. So that, you know, as you can see, just put me to a life of, you know, misery for the most part. But I've loved sports. And when I was in high school, talking about sports every day, and then you start thinking, what are you going to do with life? And that was when, during the heyday of Mike and the Mad Dog on WFAN, and started to get me to think, you know, can I actually make a living doing what I'm doing in the cafeteria right now, which is talking sports? And so sure enough, I ended up going to the Newhouse School of Syracuse. And eventually got a job pretty much out of school. So back in the day, before News 12, some people may know this, there was a station called Neighborhood News 12. And it was an affiliate of News 12. And it, if you can imagine, it was even more of a hyper-local version. And I got a job there just writing behind the scenes. And I knew how to edit. And on my own, I would make stories. I'd edit packages for stories that I would go out. And I would send them to the news director. And eventually he said, okay, go on the air. And then eventually those made their way to Bob Wolf, the Hall of Fame, late great Bob Wolf sportscaster at News 12 Long Island, and Pat Dolan, whose family owned News 12. And they started airing a couple of my stories on News 12, even though I wasn't even at News 12. So that was a huge thrill. And long story short, eventually a sports producer job opened up with Bob Wolf. I auditioned. I got it. A couple months later, everyone called out sick for work. And I remember Pat Dolan walked down. I'm sitting there as a 25-year-old producer. I'm writing my script for Bob Wolf. And I remember Pat Dolan walked into the office and he said, hey, Jamie, how's it going? And I said, hey, Pat, what's up? He goes, so we have an issue. What's the problem? He said, everybody's out sick. Bob, blank, 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 blank. Do you think you could go on and do the show? And I said, yeah, I could. And as I told my daughters this, I said, I always was prepared. So I had a suit in the back seat of my car just in case, because you never know. And did the show. Show was great. And the rest is history, and ended up doing a great job. And I love being a sports reporter and sports anchor for a long time at News 12 Long Island, and now still doing stories with Newsday. But I will say this, over the years, my interest changed a little bit from wanting to be that sports center ESPN anchor guy with the catchphrases to a storyteller and wanting to report and tell stories and basically start from scratch, a blank slate, a blank canvas, and basically storytell. So that's what I love to do.
A great story about getting the break there. And something similar happened to me when I was in radio too, right? And you know, you're that guy who's there, and you've got the skills and even the suit in your trunk, the trunk of your car. And when that break comes, you grab it and you run with it. And it's great to hear that Genesis story of yours. Let's segue into what you were just starting to talk about. You know, sports reporters, when we think of sports reporters, I guess most people think of the game score guy, right? The guy who's calling the game, or maybe, you know, the color commentator, or the reporter who is reporting the recap of the game in the paper the next day. And it's all about the score and the contest, right? But there's a lot more to sports reporting than just that. How have you approached sports reporting in your career?
Yeah, I think, you know, over the years, it has changed to the point where you can access the final results and the game recap and the game scores on your phone in 2 seconds. So we don't necessarily, as you've seen, the way the landscape has changed, you don't need guys to just tell you the score. To me, storytelling is one thing that will never die. I think it was Steve Jobs once said, the most powerful person is the storyteller. So for me, sports reporting is about getting into the human interest aspect of a story, of a game. Anybody can say, oh, the Knicks stink or the Jets stink, but we got to say why. Actually, the Knicks are good now, so I shouldn't say that. but, you know, why it happened, the characters, the human interest story behind it, getting the emotional human behavior into it. And so that's really what I try to do with my sports reporting. You know, you can go to a game and, like I said, just say what happened, but it's why it happened and how you can get the person emotionally invested. Like I used to always tell my students, because I've been an adjunct professor at Hofstra and Stony Brook, my mantra has always been, when I'm cutting a package, let's say doing a story, and it should be for anybody, really. If it's sports, for example, I understand it's a niche audience, so not everyone's going to love sports. But if it's playing in the background on your TV, how can I get that person who's in the kitchen making dinner back to the TV? How can I get them to turn around for a second and see what's going on the TV? Or like, what is he talking about? So that's always been my goal. Doesn't mean I'm always successful. Some stories are easier than others to do that with. But that's always been my goal, is to make something interesting for everyone, because we know the ardent sports fan, they're going to probably watch regardless, right?
Right. So what are some of the challenges to that storytelling, and what are some of the kinds of stories that you hone in on that you like to tell revolving around sports?
Well, I mean, certainly the human interest stories for sure. If it's, and you've pitched me, you've given me some great stories over the years. I remember you talked to me about the St. Joseph's hockey player who was recovering from cancer and he couldn't play hockey anymore, so he learned golf and joined the St. Joe's golf team. And that was a great story. I'm actually working on a story right now for Newsday TV about a wrestler on Long Island who was given 12 weeks to live because he had stage 4 melanoma cancer and was in a clinical trial and became one of the only people in the world to basically be given the all clear. And now he's wrestling again. And so obviously human interest stories are great. Underdog stories are great. But I also like, I don't like to, you know, be a, for lack of a better term, an ambulance chaser. Like I want to do other stories other than that. And maybe it's like a unique story or a fun story. Like I did a story a year or so ago about a Jets fan I found online who flipped the coin before the season and he got every single result right. Win, loss, 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 win, 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 loss. And it was like 14 weeks in and he was 14 for 14. So, you know, I contacted him and we did a fun story at his house and I flipped the coin and anything that, I think can just pique your interest. But, you know, everyone has a talent. And what I like to do is if I hear something right away, I can go in my head, we can do something with that. I like that. So the challenges would be, you know, if someone's afraid to or hesitant to talk about certain things. I did a story for Newsday a little while ago about gambling and sports gambling and how there was a few people on Long Island who, you know, lost a lot of money, in debt, addicted to sports gambling on their phone, borrowing money. That's a difficult story to tell, but it's an important story to tell. And I had to convince that person over time, let's talk. And a couple of people said, no, couldn't do it. Then I wanted to get the mother on because the mother was so great. You know, one obstacle sometimes you find when you're doing these stories is people talk to you and they're really good. And then you're like, okay, let's do the interview. Here's the microphone. Here's the camera. And it's, whoa, I'm not so sure. So that's where you have to be, you know, a human being about it. Talk to them and you have to establish a little bit of trust that their story is not going to be in jeopardy, you know, by you, because you now have a responsibility to tell that story in the correct way.
That's a great point. And I frequently counsel clients on that very topic. Because I think there's this pop culture misrepresentation that reporters are out to get people all the time. And I joke and I say, you know, there are only 10 of them in the entire world and they all sit in the White House briefing room and that's their job. Everybody, every other reporter really, and you give me your impression of this, but the way I describe it is reporters are actually rooting for you. Because if they're there to tell your story, they need to hear from you. They want to pull out of you that great story that you want to tell. And so if you don't tell them that great story, they can't do the job they want to do on your behalf. Do you counsel people in that way as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the media gets a bad rap because there are different levels of the media, right? I mean, if you've got the talking heads on ESPN and their job is for hot takes and things like that, they're going to slam people left and right. And that's their job. They get paid to do that. And then athletes are not going to trust them. And that's why you've seen athletes more so than ever before create their own podcast, their own YouTube channels, so they can get their voice out themselves. And they don't have to be misinterpreted or misconstrued or misrepresented. So that's one aspect. But you're right. Like if you have the local level, if it's a human interest story or a regular day of air type of story, reporters are not trying to get you. They're, like you said, trying to do the best job they can and tell the best story. And they need your help. And it depends, obviously, on the subject matter. But, you know, even if I'm doing a story on a cancer survivor, you know, there are many times where the person will say, listen, I don't want to be looked at as a sob story charity case here. I don't want you to feel bad. And I, you know, maybe just because I have a big heart, but when I tell these stories, I really try and go out of my way so you don't feel bad for that person. I don't want you to feel bad for that person. If I'm doing a story about a female wrestler in high school or a female football player, I'm done with, oh my God, it's a girl who can play football. Like we're done with that. Like it's old news. It's, you know, and so I do think reporters get a bad rap, but it's on you, like you said, in the White House or the national level. And when people just watch, you know, Fox News or, you know, CNN or ESPN, and they see the talking heads going back and forth, I do understand why there is that mistrust.
Yeah, like you said, that I think the people sitting on the set who are critiquing the game or the score or the performance, like you said, that's their job. That's the thing that they do. And there's a small subset of sports reporters who actually do that for the living. The rest, you know, are either down on the sidelines, they're in the locker rooms, or they're doing whatever they're doing. Have there been, I don't want to put you too much on the spot here, because I always blank when I get asked this kind of a question, but have there been moments in your career where you've been covering sports that really stick out to you? Are there things that you've done and maybe even acted, you know, going back to the storytelling piece, with a PR person who's pitching you a story, or maybe pointing out a particular angle about a sports story that you covered, that you either appreciated or, you know, like stood back and looked at and said, gee, I wouldn't have known that if someone hadn't pointed me in that direction. direction.
I mean, I can't think of, I mean, as far as like memorable moments, I've covered like a zillion great games and great moments, obviously, that are just fun as a fan. I mean, that's why I got into the business, you know, to get paid to go to, you know, a Yankee Met World Series or a Knicks playoff game or the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's where you're like, oh, this is awesome. You know, you don't think that too much when it's 2 a.m. and you're still driving home. But for the 4 hours before that, it's awesome. And I never complain because I know a zillion people, you know, would love to do that. From a public relations standpoint, you know, I think, you know, PR people are storytellers as well, and they know what makes a good story. As a reporter, you know, I think when I've gone out to do stories and I have a PR person chat with me, I really appreciate them giving me the heads up, telling me the information, and basically saying, if you need anything, let me know. I'm here. Like that's just me. Like, everyone is different. Now, I've had other instances where, I'm not naming names, the PR people maybe, you know, follow me around every second. How about talk to this politician? How about talk to this person? Now, I understand they have a job to do. And so if they're representing a company, hey, you know, even though you're here for this athlete, we'd love for you to talk to, you know, the, you know, vice president, assistant of the blah, blah. And it's like, I get it, but that is annoying. I mean, if I can be honest, it's annoying, but I do get it. And most of the time I will talk to them, but then I will gently talk to the public relations person on the side and say, I'm just giving you a courtesy. There's no way I'm airing this, but I like you. So I'm going to do the interview. So they think you did a great job. And that's how I do it.
And you know what? We've all been in that situation, right? We're not naming names. We've all been there. And I will literally say to a reporter, look, just do me a favor. Just go stick a microphone in his face.
Look, it is just what talk. It is.
You know, and then, oh, gee, it got cut out.
Right. Then you go, you badmouth Jamie. I can't believe Jamie didn't use it. You were great. And that's fine. I'm fine with it. Just pitch me another story later.
All right, there you go. And I think that's the relationship that good PR people and good reporters have, is that we are honest with each other, right?
Right.
You know, we both know the job that the other one has to do. We're from our perspective, we're trying to inform you of things that obviously we're trying to promote, but also things that we think would be interesting to you. We're not going to bother you with mess. We're not going to bother you with junk.
Right.
And just point you in the direction of good information and let you do with it what you want to do with it without, you know, like you said, following you around the locker room saying, you know, right, talk to this guy, that guy.
And obviously there's a matter of trust that you have to develop over time. If you know this reporter is good, you know what he or she can do and vice versa, then you guys are like, you're good. Fist bump. We're on our own. You know, I've dipped my toe a little bit into the public relations world over the last year, setting up some stories for other people, and I know exactly what they need when they come to do a story. So I've set everything up and I give them, here it is from A to Z. And they're just like, great, this is fantastic. Thank you. It's easy peasy, one-stop shopping. Yeah. So it's a synergy for sure.
Absolutely. All right. So as we round out our conversation here, give me the dream sports event that you'd like to cover in your career at some point, or have you already done it?
No, because I need to cover the Jets in the Super Bowl, and that hasn't happened in my lifetime. So that is it. I will call it quits. I'm hanging on just for that to happen. But yeah, that is it for sure. In all seriousness though, I'm trying to think, like, I've always wanted to cover like the Masters or just go to the Masters. I've never even done that. So something like that. And another thing, I'm a huge tennis fan. So I definitely have it on the bucket list to go to Wimbledon one day.
Nice. Those are some high ranking events. And you know what? I hope we do see the Jets in a Super Bowl in our lifetime, because I think the fans deserve it. Don't you agree?
There's no thinking. Forget the thinking. It is definite. I mean, if you had told 10-year-old Jamie when he was going to be a sports reporter, hey, guess what? 30-something years later, they still will not have won the Super Bowl. I would have said, what? Yeah. So, yeah, from your lips.
All right. Well, we'll hope that Aaron Rodgers heals up in the offseason And he can make a run at things in the next season.
Hope is a dangerous thing.
Well, what else have we got, right, Jamie?
Exactly.
Well, this has been a great conversation. We're going to segue now into the rapid fire question portion of our podcast. This is okay. Where we steal a page from inside the actor studio, ask our guests a series of rapid fire questions meant to elicit a simple answer, maybe a laugh or two. Here we go with your indulgence rapid fire question. Number one for Jamie Stewart. What is your favorite news source?
Probably the New York Times. I go to New York Times.
All right. Rapid fire question number two. What's your favorite social media platform?
I'm on it the most. So my favorite is also my least favorite, which is X, formerly known as Twitter. It's a cesspool. It's horrible. But as a sports guy, it's rapid updates for anything going on in sports. And that's what I need.
I agree with you. And I'm still there too, despite the fact that it's a cesspool. I still have so many people that I'm in contact with there. I'm not leaving those people.
And I find stories on there locally. So
yeah. I think it is what you make it, frankly.
Yeah.
Rapid fire question number three, coffee or alcohol?
Coffee. I have to have it every morning.
Love it. Rapid fire question number four, what's your favorite on the run food?
It's got to be McDonald's. I love McDonald's, but I don't go that much. But, you know, road trip, it's McDonald's. But I will say this, guilty pleasure, which I have not had in a while, but I always think about, I just am too scared to go, is just KFC. I just want a bucket of KFC, and that's it.
There's something about some fried chicken, man. I agree. Right?
Just give me a bucket, let me eat, let me be disgusting. And, you know, because I'm in a suit most of the day, just let me live, as my daughter likes to say.
I love it. I love it. I love the daughters. Rapid fire question number four, JB. What do you want to be after you finish this career?
Ooh. Well, I mentioned I have been a teacher at Hofstra, Stony Brook. I do like teaching. I love storytelling. I love being able to teach people how to attack a story a different way. So maybe a consultant, if possible, in some regard, at a TV station. I love storytelling. I'm just starting a new venture, JamieStewartCommunications.com, in which basically I want to be a media consultant for people who want to get more comfortable on camera or on a Zoom or when they're getting ready for an interview on TV or radio or just talking to a boardroom. So that's JamieStewartCommunications.com. Or if that all fails, you know, I can just play a ukulele on the beach and call it a day, and I'd be happy with that.
I think that's a great plan. I think that sounds fantastic. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us here. This has been a great conversation. Please let people know how they can find you online.
On Twitter, formerly known as X, it's at Jamie Stewart TV. And Instagram, it's my old News 12 handle still. So it's Jamie Stewart N12. And you can message me on there. Anybody has any story ideas, sports or human interest, send them my way, or you want to talk about being comfortable on camera, give me a shout.
Yeah, and hit us with that website again.
It's JamieStewartCommunications.com. No www, just Jamie Stewart, Stuart, communications.com. It's a little long, but I'm, you know, figuring these things out as I go.
That's okay. We're going to link that in the show notes as well. Thanks again, Jamie. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the TikToks at The PR Podcast, and send us a question or a comment. Our intro is by Christopher Apple. You can find him and his fantastic photography on Instagram at Christopher_APPOLDT. Check him out there and hire him for all your photography needs. You can find me online at Jody Fisher on all the socials and on the web at jodyfisherpr.com. We'll see you next time on the PR Podcast.